The words of God given to us today are 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 4 to 7. Allow me to read the words. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. Amen. Several years ago in a newspaper, I read that in a zoo in Toronto, Canada, a polar bear, Kunik, died. About 1 month from before he died, Kunik had difficulty standing up on his hind legs. He eventually couldn't walk and died. Dr. Ian Baker of University of Guelph, Ontario, Canada, a veterinarian medicine, and the zoo's veterinarian announced that Kunik died because of a mosquito bite on his nose, and the virus from the bite had traveled to his brain. Now, if a mosquito sucks in the blood of a bear, how much blood would the mosquito take? It's probably 1/10,000th or 1/100th of the blood in the bear. But the polar bear Kunik died not because of the quantity of blood taken away by the mosquito, but what the mosquito left behind in his body. In our lives also, what is inside of us is much more important than what is outside. Although from outside, a person may be in a position of envy by others, we almost see and hear daily in the papers and in the media about how the lives of such persons are ruined because of what are inside of them are not good in health. So what truly reveals who we are not the things that are around us or next to us, but what is within us. And today's text tells us very well what kind of things our inner person must come to have. And verse 4 testifies as follows. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Now, God gave us the grace of calling us as his children. It's not because we are better than other people, not because we're smarter than other people, or because we have more talents. It's the sole result of God's love. Why, among so many people in the world, God loved us first is a mystery that is beyond our understanding, who are marked by human limitations. Parents, when the children are born, wants the children to grow healthy and properly. In the same way, God wants us to grow up properly. Us growing up properly means that we come to participate in the nature and character that belong to God. In order for us to do so, there is something that we must do first, which is to avoid things that will rot away in this world. Now, rotting does not mean that the thing that is rotting away does not have any value, but the value is not eternal and will come to disappear one day. If we leave a freshly caught fish outside, it cannot last 3 days, and at most 1 week. If we keep that fish in the refrigerator, it will not keep the fish fresh forever. It's because the refrigerator itself is not forever. If electricity is cut off from the refrigerator, the refrigerator will eventually turn into a garbage container for food. Have you received an award or a trophy when you were young? Now that pride and joy that filled your joy at that moment has not lasted to this moment. The yellowed awards and faded trophies are only stuffs of memory that reminds us how fast time flies, fast like an arrow. Now this world was created at a specific time by God and will exist only until the Lord comes again, and therefore it's finite. But despite that, the world always whispers to us that the world will be infinite. And that whisper, together with our desires, blocks us from going down the right Christian way, the life as God's children who become Him, who befit Him. Now, today's verse 5 to 7 testify as to what characters we should strive to have in order to become children of God who befit Him. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. Now the meaning and the value of virtues of faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love are not only valid while we are on this earth, but will continue even after we leave here. Therefore, we must make efforts to achieve these things. And by saying that we must make efforts, it means that these are not achieved automatically just because we have become Christians. These things can't be ours unless we train for them. Now, those who wish to play golf well will probably read books about golf. For example, books titled How to Play Like Tiger Woods and Shinjie. But you won't come to play golf well just by reading 100 books like that. You actually have to hit the ball and play golf. Now, these days, all male actors go after the ideal of animal charm, and so they want to have a well-tanned six-pack. Now, in order to have such six-packs, you have to eat less, eat food that's good for building up muscles, and spend your time exercising. If you just read books about how to make six packs, you won't get any muscles. And in fact, because of the snacks you ate while reading that book, your tummy will only get bigger. Now, among the eight virtues, the first mentioned is the faith. Among a lot of parables about faith that I heard from the past sermons, there are two. The first is a parable, pedestrian overpass. Now everyone, don't you cross the pedestrian overpass because you believe that the overpass won't collapse? But crossing the overpass, thinking that it won't collapse, is not faith. But it's because of the statistics that tell us it won't collapse. The second parable is a bus parable. Don't we get on the bus because we trust that the bus won't get into an accident? No. That's not the case. The reason that we get on the bus is not because we trust the bus, but the driver. We trust the character of the driver. We trust the driver is licensed, he will obey traffic rules, and then he will drive the bus with his head and not with his emotions. This is the reason why we get on the bus. And this is the same for the overpass. We don't believe in the overpass, but we believe in the character of the person who designed the overpass and who constructed the overpass. So faith So faith is trusting the character of God who cannot be seen. But the world always encourages us to believe that what can be seen is the best and the only thing there is. It whispers to us that we should do everything we can to grab and hold on to something now if we don't want to be ignored later. The faith is overcoming such tendencies, moves to become conscious of eternity that cannot be seen, and God who evaluates us. So the faith is the first step, the right way, the shortcut to coming to resemble God. The second virtue that is mentioned to coming to resemble God is goodness. Now, goodness could mean the rightful attitude that a man should have, but it also means the strength of character to live according to the right way. So even in the ancient days, this word was associated with strength. In our own language, there is a good example how goodness can be associated with strength. If we say, because of the goodness of my parents, I was able to grow up in the right way. And now this does not mean only that the parents were ethically good, but it also connotes, has a connotation of the parents' strength of character and financial strength, and the strength to lead the child in the right way. So to say that goodness must be added to the faith means that our faith shouldn't be impotent, but should have the right strength to exert good influence in the circumstances of our lives. Like the small quantity of yeast in the flour that makes the entire dough rise, like the mustard seeds that could be hard, so small that that could hardly be seen with our eyes, but which comes to grow to provide a resting place for the birds. Us Christians, through the life that God has given to us, doing our utmost to make where we happen to be a place where the life comes to dwell, that is adding goodness to faith. And the third virtue is knowledge, and it means practical knowledge, the right discernment. No matter how much goodness one has, if you don't have the right knowledge, that goodness cannot be used efficiently. Even if the same ingredients are used to cook a dish, they taste very different according to who cooked them. The reason is that there is difference in the knowledge or the skill of the cooks. Now, this is the same for the sermons. If the sermon is given on the same text, now people are not moved in the same way, regardless of preachers. One preacher's sermon really inspires others with grace, while for another preacher, even if he preaches the same text, the listeners will fall asleep. So even if one preacher does not particularly say that the Word of God is truth, the listeners are moved to agree in their hearts that, yes, God's Word is truth. But on the other hand, even if the preacher raises his voice to say, really, that God's Word is the truth, the listeners might come to mumble, right? Right, maybe God's Word is truth, but I'm really sick of the sermon. That is the difference. That is the difference in discernment or the insight. Now, knowledge of faith is not a theoretical knowledge, but it's a practical knowledge. So that knowledge must be made by one's body through one's faith, not merely by one's mouth. Now, this year there will be a World Cup that will be held at the South Africa. According to current FIFA ranking, Spain is ranked number one, Brazil is ranked number two. Now, if the members of the two national teams became one team, and I became the other team by myself and played soccer, and if we play soccer and they play with their feet and I play with my mouth only, I can win against them, at least by 100 to nothing. But if the Spanish national team and our pastoral staff play together, that results will be very clear. Even if we, our pastoral team just made, attempted at one shooting, that would be something to brag about. So it's very easy to talk about living a life of faith, but actually living the life of faith is very difficult. To have faith just as a theory is a very pathetic, poor thing. The fourth virtue that is mentioned is self-control. And it does not only mean giving up something, but focusing all of our resources, our lives, for the better thing. Now, many Christians decide to become more mature Christians at the beginning of the year and make resolutions to give up drinking and smoking. Now, those are great resolutions, but they're not the end in themselves. If you spend money and time that you've saved by not drinking and smoking without much thought, then there's not a whole lot of difference in whether you made the resolution or not. That we must go towards the Lord and holiness with more clear mind. Don't we know so many outstanding athletes and popular stars and Christians that we wanted to emulate, but who fell sideways because they didn't have self-control? And this is why self-control is so important. If we look at the public life of Jesus, we come to know that he exercised self-control. The Satan came to Jesus and said, "If you're really the Son of God, then turn the stone into bread." If we were Jesus, we would not only have turned the stone into bread, but just like the house made of bread and cookies in a fairy tale, we maybe would have made all the stones in the plain and all of the stone and the mountain itself into a bread mountain. But Jesus did not do that. He exercised self-control. It was because Jesus did not come to this earth to solve economic problems of men, but to deliver and save all humankind. And at the end of his life, when he hung on the cross, the people mocked him and said, "If you're truly the Son of God, then why don't you save yourself and other people by coming down?" But Jesus did not come down. Jesus did not come down to listen to what people say, but to listen only to God's word. This virtue of self-control makes us into children of God who are befitting of God. The fifth virtue is patience. That in order for us to be true Christians, we need to have the virtue of patience means that in order to live the right life of faith is not that easy. It also means that faith life, in some ways, goes completely against our instincts. If the life of faith, like some advertisements say, is to do whatever we want to do, that would be great. But the life of faith is not doing something that I want to do, but is to live according to what God tells us. And it's difficult for that reason, and this is why we need patience. Often, I get a question, is there a way to know the Bible better? The answer is very simple. If you continue to read the Bible with patience, continuously, read when you want to read when you don't want to read, when you have time, a lot of time, you read a lot. When you don't have enough time, then you make time to read the Bible. That's the only way. But because it's difficult to have that patience, we only know two books in the Bible. It's Genesis and Book of Matthew. Only those two books are annotated with our notes. What makes us children of God who are befitting of God is not resolution, but patience. The fifth virtue is the godliness. Godliness is walking with God and always being conscious of Him. Now, it is not easy to achieve patience in our faith life. But to know that we are patient not because we have no choice, but in fact that it is a very glorious thing to achieve, is godliness. If the president is always with us and accompanies us, people will think that the president really thinks of us as being important. But if God, who created the universe, is with us, there can't be a more honorable thing. Therefore, we have to be able to become conscious not only of people whom we can see with our eyes, but God, who is not seen. Only then we will come to resemble God more and more. The seventh virtue is the brotherly kindness. Now, the best way to confirm whether we are walking with God, whether we're conscious of God, is to see whether we have brotherly kindness. For us to say that we love God, but we're always, but if we're always in the middle of arguments with the people that God sent to us to be with, and we're continuously trying to satisfy our selfish aims, then that person, it does not yet know what the deliverance and life of God is all about. Now, brotherly kindness in Greek is philadelphia. It means that we treat other people as brothers and sisters who are born of the same womb. If we genuinely regard and treat other people who are next to us in that way, then many problems will disappear. The final and the eighth virtue is love. If we look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control are all mentioned. The love is mentioned first, and as we've seen, the last of the sanctified nature is also love. So therefore, love is the critical test that can measure the depth of our faith and maturity. Now, the best way to keep our health is to eat regular meals in proper portions, to exercise, and to sleep. And a little bit of medicine can also help. But if we're trying to maintain our health only by medicine, that means that our body already has a problem. This applies the same to our spiritual life. Now, God, in order for us to become the children who resemble Him, has given us the best environment. He's given us our families, the workplaces, the schools, the church, even our success and our failures, joy and sadness, are all things that God allowed for this purpose. Now, things like fasting and all-night prayers are needed occasionally, but if we think that we have to maintain our faith by doing those things all the time, it means that our faith life has a problem. Now, in the game of Go, there is a term called Wigikupun, and it refers to a system of classifying player skills into 9 levels. And each level is given quite an appropriate title, and today in professional Go matches, these titles are used to indicate the level of a player's skills, and I believe it is useful to apply such system of classification to our faith. The first level of this classification is called su chor. Su meaning keep to, chor means travesty. It means not correcting the travesty of the world and keeping to one's station. In other words, this is it means to keep what is one's own without being shaken by what others of the world say or do. In the context of faith, this means not being influenced by the way the people of this world live and keeping one's faith. The reason that being here this morning means so much is that it is the beginning of this very entry level of faith, Suzhou. The second level is called Yagu, Yag meaning the same, and U means foolishness. It means that one looks a bit foolish and a bit lacking. It points to the skill level where one might not appear to be smart or altogether, but in reality has the basic skills to play the game. Now, if you run into members of the church, you might question, what does that person do in the church? He just goes back and forth each week and doesn't volunteer for anything. But you must remember that person is at the second level. Even if that person appears to be doing nothing, he's thinking of what he should do and is training for it. Now the third level is called Turyak. Tu means to fight and Yak means strength. It means the person has the strong strength for fighting. And now the player has, it means that the player now has a substantial strength through his skills. So regardless of who comes up against him, he's able to play the game. Maybe some refinements are needed, but he no longer is somebody who can be taken lightly. In life of faith, these people are very passionate about serving the church. They often say to their pastors and district leaders that they will do whatever they are asked to do. Now, when you are deeply moved about being called by God, although you're worthless and commits to serving God, no matter what the cost, this is being at this third level. Now, the church will become dynamic when there are a lot of people at this third level. The fourth level is Sogyo, So meaning small, and Kyo meaning skills. It means that one comes to have small skills. At this level, it is possible to manipulate one's techniques, even if it's a small, simple one. Although one does not yet have the ability to see the Go board as a whole, one comes to enjoy the game by manipulating one's techniques at parts of the game. In our faith life, this is the stage where one begins to think about the direction of one's services. After having served without any reservation, any preference with passion, what is the right way to serve God? How we should read the words and meditate on the words in the right way? It is a level to ask these questions and to make adjustments and corrections in the areas that need improvement. The fifth level is Yongji, Yong meaning to use, and Ji meaning wisdom. It means one comes to use wisdom at this level. One knows to give up small things for bigger things and to form a strategy by considering the entire goal board. In our faith, this is the stage where we come to acquire wisdom. We come to serve with the picture of the whole church in mind and know how to make up for areas in which we are lacking. Now, this is the same in our personal faith life as well. We should be able to let go of things that we should let go of and to evaluate our faith as a whole in an accurate way. Now, the sixth level is called Tong Yu, Tong meaning to get through and Yu meaning deep and full. It means the ability to pass through all things. And in other words, the player has entered into the deep world of Go and is at a level to truly appreciate true aspects of Go. In terms of faith life, this is the level where we enter a deeper realm of faith and we are able to accept other people's wrongdoings by thinking of their weaknesses and are able to embrace them. And no matter where we happen to be, The seventh level is called Guche, Gu meaning to equip and Che meaning body. It means one has come to be equipped with all things, and now the player has mastered the technical aspects of the game and is able to maintain inner calm for each game. This is probably the last stage that a person can achieve by efforts. In terms of faith life, this is the level where what person comes to have great character, who has come to have all necessary knowledge for faith life. The eighth level is called Chua Zhou, Chua meaning to sit, and Zhou means to shine on. It means one can see everything, even when one is sitting. From here, it is said that the skill levels are not achieved by efforts only. These levels can only be reached by a select few who are born with the talent of Go. In our faith life, there are only few who can be said to have reached this stage. These are persons who have obtained deep spirituality by continuous training. We are encouraged just by being around these people. The final ninth stage is called Ipshin, Ip meaning entry and Shin meaning God. It means that as far as Go is concerned, one has reached the level of a god. In life of faith, this level would be almost being at the same level as Christ. It is a moment when the reflection of Christ is completed in ourselves. When we reach heaven after finishing our lives on this earth, we will be like this. Now, if you think of your faith in terms of Go, what level are you happen to be? Of course, from the perspectives of those who have not even called, just by sitting here, you're already ahead of them. But we cannot be satisfied and stop here. Those who are at the entry level should rise to the second and third level. Those who are at the third and the fourth level should rise to the fifth and the sixth level of maturity. There are many churches in which they undertake the works of God due to the maturity of faith of just few members. And there are many churches in which the pastor has mature character and faith and who serve the church in humbleness. But I almost never hear of a church in which everyone tries to attain the maturity and make utmost efforts to become children of God befitting of Him. It is almost impossible for such church to exist in this world, but if it is possible at all, I wish that church is our 100th anniversary memorial church. Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for making us, taking a look what virtues we must have to become your children who resemble you. We confess that rather than making efforts to acquire these virtues, we're putting our efforts into finite things that will not help us at all. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Help us to see where we are precisely in each of these virtues, so that we will be able to entrust our lives to God who is not seen, so that we can live as Christians in the circumstances of our lives, so that our faith will come to know you more through our experiences. Help us to live a differentiated life, to live a better life as Christians. Allow our daily life to be the training ground for maturity. May that process become joy for us. And that suffering to be endured. More than all, help us to become people who love you and those whom they love you and those whom you have sent us to be with from the center of our beings. In that way, may our faith not only stop with our tongues, but acquire hands and feet. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.